Would you all introduce yourselves, please, to make sure I've got the right band?
Hey, I'm Donald. I'm in the Virgins. I sing and I play guitar.
Hi, I'm Eric. I play drums in the Virgins.
Hi, I'm Wade.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have to start here. I have to do the trick question. How many of you are virgins?
None of us are virgins. Well, not true. That's not true because we're all in the band. So we're all virgins. Nice. Are all in the virgins. And we are... have had sex with women and men.
At least according to all the PR, you are the quintessential New York band. Are you all from New York originally?
Myself and Wade and Nick are originally born and we grew up also in Manhattan. And Eric is from Connecticut. Apparently, well, not even, it's true that in New York, there's not a lot of, you don't get a lot of elbow room. And drumming is like a loud thing for a kid to do. So there aren't as many drummers in the city as you would hope because you grow up in apartments and you can't bang on drums in your apartment because your neighbors, you get evicted. And parents don't buy drum sets for kids in New York the way they do in the suburbs where you get a garage and you say, yeah, go crazy. So there's a shortage of drummers in the city and we had to go to Connecticut.
When you kind of look at the fact that this band is a few years old, formed the way it did, which again we'll talk about, and you think, wow, you know, we're going to do the what you always do when you have a new record, which is play a venue like this one. But then a couple months down the road, you're at the Fillmore instantaneously, and so that's pretty not only impressive, but how does it kind of feel to have this? And I asked this of a few other bands recently. That, you know, some bands take forever, and some have a huge trajectory.
I don't know what I would attribute it to, where we haven't been playing together so long, you know, and we've definitely had amazing opportunities like in a really short period of time, and one of the things that I like about that is the contrast of playing a venue like the Fillmore when we can barely play like our set, and then we go and play the Fillmore or somewhere like that, and it's really fun. For us, because it's obviously like a tremendous, you know, it's really romantic to get to play in venues that are so famous and like it's something that you grow up dreaming about. And then I feel like, and I don't know if it's true, but I think that people might enjoy seeing us in those contexts because we're not that polished and we're not sort of like a super like road weary kind of touring band that has a very specific kind of stage show that they do every night and it's never alters. We're like, I think it's nice to see like some dudes up there like that. We're pretty vulnerable when we play, like, because we fuck up and things go wrong, and it's I don't know, I think it's nice to actually have a band in a huge room where the band is really there, like we're really up there, you know, like we're experiencing this show in real time, not just sort of on autopilot, because we haven't been doing it for very long. So I think it's kind of nice to get these like super legendary venues and all this like romantic kind of rock and roll, you know, like you read about like the Winterland and the Fillmore and all these places, and then to play there, but to be so green, it's a lot of fun.
Private Affair is probably, you know, it could be the song of the summer. I don't know, but it could be. But the video, can you tell me more about the girl? I mean, can you tell me more about the video? Sure. I'm sorry, when I was watching it this afternoon, I'm preparing my questions, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the quality of the video and who directed it, but unfortunately, like, something kept getting in the way. There was some chicken, some red thing.
We'll have to send you the uncensored version, then.
There's an X-rated version.
But there really is a sense of humor to that, you know, that video. And I was going to get there later, but there's a sense of humor to this band, too.
The video originally was going to be, it was going to be me as a street hustler in Times Square. And it was going to have me, like, you know, picking up clients and, like, and then at the end of the video, I was going to be an undercover cop. It was going to be like a big reveal. He's a cop. But what happened was that we didn't have a lot of money and we didn't have any time. and we didn't have a treatment or a script or anything like that. So then we had to do this other thing, which was and you probably remember the Robin Bird show. Yeah, so I've been watching that show since I was like 6, maybe. No, for real, like that show really kind of blew me away. Like as when I was little, like before, I don't how graphic can I be.
I can edit. Go ahead.
All right. But like literally, like the whole evolution of that experience, like being like, why does it hurt? It aches. I don't know what to do. Like that, like, you know, and then gradually being like, what if I tried to relieve this suffering, you know, like that kind of situation, all from this show. And it was just this crazy show. I didn't know what it was. It just came on TV like in the middle of the night. So we obviously Wade and not so much Eric because he's from Connecticut, but he's seen it. He knows what it is. And Nick, we all grew up watching this crazy ass show. It was all strippers from New York, who I would imagine were probably stripping in, you know, venues in the city. And
way before Howard Stern was doing the Howard Stern thing.
I don't know, probably. I mean, maybe he had that Channel 9 show, because he had, yeah. Robin Bird was like a really good platform for local, and probably, I don't know if there's a stripper circuit. There is, though. They definitely toured. It wasn't like, I just don't want it to sound like porn stars, because it was definitely like not, it was professional, because they were professional strippers, but it wasn't like glamorous, you know, it was like, people.
No, they weren't always the prettiest,
not at all,
most perfectly formed human beings.
No, it was really like
all about the sex.
Yeah,
period.
It was like pretty much like straight to the point.
And the only commercials,
pun intended, nice.
Yeah. The only commercials they showed on the air was commercials for escorts.
Call out, yeah.
Yeah, or call out, call in, or it's like it was either sex hotlines or just pure sex.
Yeah. But anyway, we wanted my friend Matthew Lenski, who did the video, was like, let's just do something with the Robin Bird show. Like, and what the plan was to get on the show and for us to just strip on the Robin Bird show. And then it turned out that she hasn't done that show in like 15 years. And apparently she edits now and she does behind the camera stuff, but she's not on camera in that way anymore. So we couldn't make that happen. So we did something which was like an approximation of that vibe, basically. And the reason we were going to do this whole X-rated version of it, but Alexander the Great, the guy who stripped in it, wouldn't show his dick, so we couldn't.
You know, the things you have to do for the industry, right?
Yeah, well, I was really upset because that was kind of like the whole thing was that it would be this show, and obviously if he was stripping on the show, he would show his dick. And the dude is he was a real sweet guy, and he was real, we didn't get to know each other real well, but he was really nice and shit. I wanted him to show his dick, and he didn't. So that kind of like threw the balance of the X-rated version off, so we had to tone down the ladies' performances so that it all worked.
There was a photo shoot in 2005 in Mexico, but next thing you know, you said, oh, I've got some songs, and and you have a band. So that's kind of most bands don't form that way, do they?
I don't know. We don't talk to that many bands that give us the same. Most people meet, Yeah, people meet at the laundromat normally. But we put up posters for a little bit, like flyers, and we wrote just all sorts of... Everyone was putting up flyers for bands, and they write the bands they like. And we decided to put up just the most random, crazy shit and just write... I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. we just wrote all sorts of crazy shit on it. Like, you know, like, I don't really remember, but we wrote, like, weird adjectives. And we were basically not looking for players when we put these things up. We were just looking for psychopaths that could also play music.
Well, yeah.
We got nobody out of that, so it's definitely not a good...
But, okay, so you go from a photo session to already taking major advantage. I mean, now you're joking about not graduating high school, but you've got either some very good people surrounding you or you're playing the game well, because no less than 5 songs in Gossip Girl, track on Entourage.
We've definitely been really, really, really lucky. One of the things that I was real lucky about the Entourage thing, and something like Gossip Girl also is that that kind of gave us a little bit of cash in order to keep playing and get gear that we needed and stuff, because it's actually real expensive to be in a band. Yeah, it's a lot cheaper to do nothing. So like, no, for real, like I've definitely spent time doing nothing, and it's not that expensive. And as soon as I started doing something, like, it was really fortunate that we were able to license some of the material early, because it gave us money to keep the band going, and that was like key. Like, we now still have trouble with rent and with food and stuff, but we always have cigarettes, and we always have gear, we always have instruments, and
that's true.
And like tonight, they gave us a lot of tickets so we can drink. We got signed before there was a band. I did it. It was me. I made an EP. Like, not even. It was.
Right, you had two.
I made a demo.
Right.
Of 5 songs, and I gave it out to all my friends. This was when me and Wade were just becoming friends, and I made an email address for the thing, you know, and I started getting emails back from people and managers, and like, records and stuff, and it all sort of just, it all happened very. I basically went to Atlantic and bullshit them and was like, yeah, I got this band, and, you know, this, what you hear on this, this is just nothing compared to what we can actually do. Meanwhile, there was nothing. There wasn't even any other players, and I'd never played in a band before.
Right, and you didn't know how to play guitar either, did you?
Really. I could play, obviously, but, like, not, like, I didn't know what it meant to, like, play as part of a band or play a rhythm guitar or what that meant or anything like that. But I bluffed my way into the deal, and then it's like one of those things where it's like once you have a deal, then you kind of have to do the band. And that's sort of like the way all of our stuff happens. Like, we'll book a tour and then we'll be like, okay, well, we're going to have to write some more songs because we're going to need a longer set and things like that. And that's sort of the way that we work, is that we take an opportunity and we try to turn it into something that makes sense for us as like, creative people, like a challenge or a task, something we want to aspire to do, you know. Basically, one of the things, especially about this record in particular, was to make songs that reflected a few things. One, sort of nightlife in New York. I wanted to make an album that could function like in a practical way, and one practical application of music is for dancing and parties, you know. So I wanted the record to be that, to be able to function in that kind of an environment. And then another thing was to make a record about, you know, life is pretty serious, but it's hilarious. And that's sort of something that you can't really get away from. I mean, you can try to be like a real serious guy, but something funny is gonna happen to you probably, you know, when you least want it.
Is the fact that the press has packaged you as a hipster band who draws celebs to their gigs a good thing or a bad thing, and do you care?
I've seen celebrities at our shows. I know some of them. I don't know other ones. I've seen them, though, in the crowd, you know? Some people that I know, some people that I don't know as at all. I care for my friends, because I care about people that I love and care about, and then people I don't know, I don't care as much about them, but I would be open to caring about them if it came to like a situation where I wanted to or that it made sense.
It's definitely better to be a hip band than be like a square band. So I can't imagine, yeah, or a round band.
So we do a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between,